This is You Make Me Feel So, written by Alejandra, read by Miss Marina 95. This is a Panic at the Disco Young Veins fanfic, and contains the pairing Ryan Ross Spencer Smith. Author's notes. The post-divorce Spencer Ryan fic of my heart, full of some of my favorite fanon. Written for the No Tags 2012, prompt number 31. Ryan Spencer, Trapped in a Romance Novel. Thanks to Roebling for the beta. The package comes while Spencer and Brendan are in Paris. Brendan and Sarah had a great time. Spencer and... well, they didn't have a great time. "Dude," Spencer says, "I'm fine. Do not leave your woman to come over here." "Did you know she hates being called my woman?" Brendan asks. "I don't get it." "Jackie explained it to me once. It has to do with oppression." Spencer tugs the package out of the giant pile of mail that he's been putting off looking at since before they went out on tour. The label is typewritten, and there's no return address. Spencer has visions of hair cookies, except... no one's done that for a long time, and he's never gotten anything from fans at his apartment. They all still send him things to Brendan's house, even though he hasn't lived there since 2009. Hope for real-life gay porn springs eternal, he figures. Plus, okay, he's actually been looking forward to this package. It's the fifth one in this last year or so from whoever is using a typewriter with a broken S. It's a little higher, and has less ink than the other letters, so it's recognizable. "I'm not oppressing her," Brendan explains. Spencer tears his attention away from the package to listen to Brendan. "I'm loving her." "If you love her, you won't call her shit she doesn't like," advises Spencer. "Now I'm hanging up on you to wallow about being broken up with again. Let's go surfing tomorrow, okay?" "Sure," says Brendan. "Let me know if you want me to come wallow with you." "Nah, this is a journey I must take alone." Spencer clicks off his phone and uses his fingernail to pick off the tape holding the package closed. It's smallish, about the size of a CD, and soft. When he gets it open, he sucks in a breath at what he sees inside. "It's underwear." "No," he corrects himself. "It's panties." They're pretty and soft and a dark blue, the color of Spencer's favorite jeans. The front is a shiny, slippery material. The back is lace. They still have the tags on, so Spencer knows they're a size that will fit him, and... okay, the thing is, there aren't too many people who know about Spencer's personal, private underwear preferences. There are, like, 5 people total in the entire world who know. And only one of those people would be sending him anonymous packages with drumsticks and mixed CDs and t-shirts and expensive sushi knives and a pair of panties that look exactly like the first pair Spencer ever wore. Up until now, Spencer hadn't really bothered to formulate much of a theory on the packages, except to worry that they're a lead-up to some kind of annoying practical joke. But the panties change everything. He picks up his phone and calls Brendan. "I need you right now," he says when the ringing stops. Brendan groans. "Seriously? Because I'm being taught a really important lesson about anti-oppression." "Okay, finish getting your dick sucked. Then I need you." "Wait, why the fuck did you answer your phone if..." "Spence, you just got dumped for the 3rd time in 6 months. He would have answered the phone no matter what," says Sarah. Then she hangs up on him. "That's okay, but it means he's gonna stare at the panties until Brendan's done getting his dick sucked and can drive over. And while he stares at the panties, he's going to think about what the fuck Ryan is doing sending him panties and presents, when half the time he won't even answer Spencer's texts. "That's what your first pair looked like?" Brendan says. Spencer punches him on the arm. Not too hard, but hard enough to make it clear that Brendan is being a dick. Sometimes, he needs reminders.
"I mean, wow, Ryan is your secret admirer, huh? I wondered where you got those knives."
"They cost, like, thousands of dollars," Spencer tells him.
"Where would he get that kind of money?"
"How did he know you wanted sushi knives is the better question."
Brendan puts out a finger and touches the panties. Spencer wants to snatch them away, but that would definitely imply something about his feelings that he's not sure he wants to imply.
"Spence, seriously?"
"Ryan shoplifted them, I think."
Spencer digs the heels of his hands into his eyes.
"I mean, he just showed up one day with them."
"So what, like, he just magically knew because of your soul bond that you wanted panties?"
Brendan raises an eyebrow, fearless in the face of Spencer's glare.
"We don't have a fucking soul bond. Jesus, Bren."
"I hate to break it to you, Spence, but you guys are a walking, talking romance novel. Not the kind Sarah reads, either, but the kind my mom reads, with the pining and the secret admirer gifts of pretty lingerie and the dark past full of pain."
Brendan touches the panties again.
"They're pretty."
His eyes are dark when he looks at Spencer, and he stops talking.
Spencer clears his throat and looks away.
"Fuck you," he says shakily. "Your romance novel theory is fucking stupid."
"I don't think it is," replies Brendan. His voice is quiet and serious, the way he only gets when shit is going down.
"You know, for all that Ryan wrote Fever, he's always been terrible with words."
"I've no idea what you mean."
Spencer looks away from Brendan again, but doesn't look at the panties lying on the coffee table.
"Yeah?"
Brendan's clearly not really asking.
It was right before we met you," Spencer tells him.
"I was complaining about my boxers and how it wasn't fair that girls got to wear comfortable underwear. Pretty underwear. And that boy underwear was so fucking ugly."
"What? Was this before you learned about the magic of boxer briefs?"
Brendan snaps the waistband of his own bright red underwear.
"They dig into my stomach."
Spencer wishes he didn't sound so defensive.
"You know that."
"Hey, Spence." Brendan puts a hand on his shoulder, slides it around until he's hugging Spencer from behind.
"Dude, I'm just...
you know I don't care, right?
I mean, I told you before, but I'm just...
no, I know, I just..." There's a horrifying lump in Spencer's throat. He tries to swallow around it, but it's hard.
"Why is he such an asshole?" he asks, and lets Brendan hug him.
Spencer hand washes the panties and lets them dry in his bathroom for more than a day before he tries them on. They don't fit perfectly, because they aren't cut for his body, really, so he has to adjust his dick. He's way past the time when putting on a pair of panties makes him hard, but he's full of sense memory from the first time he put on a pair. In the bathroom he shared with his sisters, Ryan standing guard outside. The panties smelled like flowers, like whatever store Ryan had stolen them from. Now Spencer knows it had to have been Victoria's Secret, but back then he hadn't wanted to imagine Ryan going in and wandering around, maybe pretending he was looking for a gift for his girlfriend. Except he had wanted to imagine it, had spent hours jerking off thinking about showing Ryan, had spent years... He presses a hand to his dick in the panties and feels dizzy. Takes them off before he comes all over them and has to wash them again. He swaps them out for one of his regular pairs, plain cotton with a low waist and high legs. They look just like underwear to him now, nothing special. Not like the pair from Ryan. Those could be everyday panties,
But they're not. They're clearly not. Spencer leaves his bedroom and slams the door shut behind him. He takes a picture. It's nighttime. He's a little stoned, a little tipsy from hanging out in Brendan's backyard earlier, watching some of Shane's new shit. He'd felt sober driving home, but now, lying in bed, in the pure blackness of his bedroom, he feels drunk again. Drunk enough to make bad decisions. He pulls on the panties and smooths his hand over them, adjusting his dick until it feels right. He's hard, but that's peripheral to how great he feels. Comfortable and relaxed. His phone glows blue in the darkness, and when he opens his computer, it glows orange. Some program Zach installed to mimic sunlight. He uses his phone to take the picture, and it's all grainy and weird because of the lighting, but the panties shine, and his skin is pale against them, and his dick is clearly there, pressing against the fabric. It's because he's still stoned. He's still drunk. He doesn't know what he's doing. "Love them," he types, and sends the message and picture to Ryan. He falls asleep with one hand curled around his dick, over the panties, and the other around his phone. Ryan doesn't text back. Whatever. Spencer isn't surprised, especially, as he tells Brendan, considering what happened. Brendan blinks at him. "What happened?" "I mean," he says cautiously, which really, really, really pisses Spencer off. "Did something else happen? That I don't know about?" "Fuck you. Don't be careful with me," Spencer says. He pushes away his plate of pizza and grabs for the remote. "No," Brendan says. "Fuck all of that." He shoves the remote down his pants. "What happened?" "Just after South Africa, that's all I'm talking about." Spencer eyes Brendan's pants, but he doesn't want to end up with a handful of Brendan's dick. "When he and John quit our band and then..." "No, when we..." "Wait, you don't know about this?" Spencer would swear Brendan knew about this. "I guess I don't," he says. "We... in South Africa, that last night, we, and I thought everything was okay. I thought, you know..." "You fucked Ryan and thought your cock had fixed the band?" asks Brendan, sounding way more disbelieving than the situation warrants, Spencer thinks. "Sort of. But he, you know, like, he left anyways, and then didn't call, and then..." Spencer shrugs. Brendan looks pissed. "Bren, seriously, I thought you knew. I thought..." "How would I know if you never told me? Fuck." Brendan runs his hands through his hair, then pulls the remote out of his pants and throws it onto the couch. "I have to go away for a little bit before I fucking kill you. I can't believe you fucking slept with Ryan. Of all the stupid..." "Okay, I'm going downstairs to the music room. You," he directs, "stay here and watch TV." Spencer's stomach hurts every time Brendan gets mad at him, and this time is no exception. Now his stomach hurts because he sent Ryan a picture of his dick, and because Brendan is pissed. "I really thought you knew," he texts Brendan. "I wasn't trying to keep it secret. I just felt stupid." Then he texts Ryan. "Fuck you. Stop sending me gifts." Spencer keeps Brendan's reply and looks at it periodically to remind himself of the truth. "Ryan makes you act like a fucking idiot because you've been so in love with him your whole life that you think this shit is normal." Ryan's reply comes via another package. Spencer almost doesn't open it, but he can't not. 6 CDs all put out in the last 2 years, for a variety of artists.
He isn't sure what he's supposed to be getting from this. One of the CDs is the kind of sugary pop that Ryan eschewed after their BSB phase. Another looks like it might be Christian rock or something. The guy on the front is all crucified. Spencer puts on the sugary pop one. He thinks maybe he's heard the first song on the radio in the UK. He reads through the liner notes, and his spine goes cold. 3 of the 10 songs on the disc are credited with their music and lyrics to G.R.R. Smith. He tears open the Christian rock one. 4 of those are G.R.R. Smith. The third disc is in French, a girl band that looks kind of like The Like, but they're all Asian. All 13 songs have lyrics by G.R.R. Smith. 2 of the discs are the same band. One is an EP and one's a full length. Ryan wrote the music for the songs on the EP and the lyrics for several of the songs on the album. Spencer wants to break something when he hears the drum tracks on the EP and how intense they are. Like the only way Ryan could apologize was to write songs Spencer would have happily played instead of pretty much every song on Pretty Odd. The last disc is a decay dance band. Spencer immediately thinks Pete has something to do with this, except when he checks the dates, it's actually the newest release out of all of them, and only has one G.R.R. Smith song on it. "Did you know Ryan is selling songs?" he asks Brendan. "Seriously?" Brendan texts back, and Spencer's phone rings. "Seriously?" says Brendan. "Yeah." Spencer reads the lyrics for one of the sweet pop songs to Brendan. It is sweet. A love song about pining, but knowing your love is better off without you. "Were the songs we listened to when we were 14 so sad?" "Avril," says Brendan. He's chewing something obnoxiously. "Seriously, are you sure that's Ryan?" "Because, yeah, it's Ryan. That song's about you, dude." Spencer hangs up on him and ignores the 3 texts Brendan sends immediately after that. He listens to all the G.R.R. Smith songs and can't figure out how he feels about them. About Ryan using his name. Writing songs about him. Writing songs about their one night of feverish fucking. How they didn't say anything to each other. How he'd been apparently doing the same thing as Spencer. Biting back words that wouldn't have helped. That he thought Spencer wouldn't have wanted to hear. The chasm between them afterward, the stupid fighting about the band name and songs and tours and contracts. Spencer's stomach hurts again. He doesn't understand the songs that are in French, but he doesn't have to. He knows a love song when he hears it. "You're a dick," he tells Ryan's voicemail. "This is it. This is your last shot. Fucking call me and talk to me like a human being, or I am done with you." Ryan doesn't call. This is the part of being in a band that Spencer actually hates. The part where tour is over, but they aren't writing a new album yet. "Some people call this a vacation, Spence," Ian tells him and hangs up. "I'm going to see you in 2 weeks, Dallin says. At least he sounds patient. "Just give me 2 weeks to fuck my wife and cuddle my kid, Spence." Okay, maybe more desperate than patient. "Stop calling while I'm fucking him," growls Sarah. "Oh, honey, of course you can come visit. We always love seeing you. But, well, are you okay?" asks his mom. "You sound a little off. Are you fighting with Ryan again?" "Where are all the romance novels with sad endings?" Spencer asks Twitter, then immediately thinks better of it and goes to delete it. Too late, though. It's been retweeted 8 times already. Once by Ryan. 2, 41414. D @ this is Ryan Ross Don't fucking retweet my tweets about you, dick. Spencer does not slice anything with his sushi knives, and he doesn't put on the pretty blue panties, and he doesn't listen to the mixed CDs or the songs Ryan wrote about him. And he doesn't play with the fucking pair of sticks that actually inspired him to switch over to Vic Firth sticks in the first place. Instead, he orders in Thai food and watches a Criminal Minds marathon, and texts Twitter with periodic updates about his deep hope that one day Garcia and Morgan will finally get together. When his door buzzes, he drags himself over to the intercom. "What?" he snaps. The only acceptable person would be his landlord's facilities guy, and that's only if he's going to fix the lights in the hallway. The one that keeps flickering, even though Spencer's changed the bulb 4 times. The fucking rockstar life. Right. "Hey." Spencer doesn't say anything else, just hits the buzzer to let Ryan in and unlocks the door. He knows Ryan knows his apartment number, so he waits on the couch, staring at the freeze frame of Gideon frowning. When Ryan comes in, Spencer pretends he's not watching as Ryan carefully takes off his shoes and hangs up his jacket and sets down the package he's carrying. "Hey," Ryan says again. Spencer pointedly moves over on the couch so there's room for Ryan, and once Ryan sat down, he clicks the DVR to play. "Elle is a loose cannon," comments Ryan when the show starts again. "Shut up," Spencer replies, even though he privately agrees and was really glad when she left the show. They sit through the rest of the episode, and Ryan eats the whole carton of macadamia beef without offering Spencer any. At the beginning of the next episode, Ryan slouches down, tucks his feet under Spencer's thigh, and falls asleep. His face is smooth and round, like he's eating regular meals. His clothes are clean, even his socks. His hair is combed. He looks like a regular person, not like someone writing love songs that regularly hit the top 10. Not like someone who spent a while wandering around Europe with a bunch of hipsters, doing performance art. Every time someone posted a picture of Ryan sleeping in the middle of the day, surrounded by people who were awake, Spencer worried Ryan was shooting heroin or something else equally ridiculously cliché that was going to end in a funeral. But Ryan looks healthy and sober. Ryan looks sober. Spencer tugs his feet out and holds them in his lap. He sneaks a finger under one of Ryan's ridiculous argyle socks and presses it to the space where his ankle bone dips. "Only dude I know who can sleep through Garcia and Morgan flirting," he types, and sends it to Brendan with a picture of Ryan really close up, mostly just his eyelashes sweeping across his cheeks. "This is the part of the romance novel where you reconcile and sort out your misunderstandings," Brendan texts him a few moments later. "Go fuck your fiancé," replies Spencer. The next text is from Sarah. "LOL, no, come on, we all know Beedon's the bottomest bottom to ever bottom." Spencer grins at his phone, and it feels weird. Weird to smile. Which sucks, and makes him hate Ryan. Except, he doesn't hate Ryan. Everything is annoying. Spencer wakes up to someone petting his hair, a buzz of talking in the background of his consciousness. A finger smoothes over one of his eyebrows. Ryan. The TV is off, but the table lamp next to the couch is on, dim and yellow when Spencer opens his eyes to stare at the ceiling. "Okay, says Ryan. He must be on the phone. "Got it, nothing in minor." "I said I got it, trust me, okay? I'll get you something in a couple of days." Spencer listens to the rest of the conversation. Ryan's doing business. It's kind of awesome. It's nothing Spencer would have ever suspected if Ryan hadn't sent him those CDs. He figured Ryan would just bum around for the rest of his life, living carefully off panic royalties and getting drugs from his rich friends. Totally not the way Spencer had seen Ryan living his life pre-panic, but he changed so much. They all changed. Spencer changed. "I changed," he says softly. Ryan looks down at him. "I have to go," he says to the phone, and hangs up without waiting for a response. "Okay, that's the same." "To Spencer," he says, "you changed?" "I changed, and I guess I figured you were keeping up, but I wasn't keeping up with you either, right? You changed too, and by the time I noticed..." Ryan shakes his head a little, and it looks funny from this upside-down angle. "We'd already fallen apart," he says softly. Spencer leans up a little and brushes his mouth against Ryan's. "Please," he says. He's not expecting anything this time. He knows it won't fix anything. Whatever Brendan says, he and Ryan aren't in a romance novel. They're in real life, and in real life, things don't work out like this. They never work out. In real life, people have problems and move on. So Spencer's in love, has always been in love. Eventually, he'll get over it. Ryan kisses him back, tugging him to sit up, to climb into his lap. This is just like South Africa. Spencer on top, straddling Ryan, Ryan's hands on his hips, under his shirt, long fingers digging into his skin. "Please," Spencer says again. "Please, Ryan, please." Ryan pulls Spencer by the hips, pulls him down, and Spencer is so hard, and Ryan is so hard. And this is exactly what happened in South Africa. Exactly. Down to Spencer's clothes, his sweatpants and t-shirt over a pair of satin panties that slide across his dick and make him ache. But in South Africa, Ryan didn't push him away and scramble over the back of the couch, panting. "Spence," he says, and puts out a hand like it will keep Spencer away from him. No, I can't do this again." "You can't do this again? I think if I can do this again, you fucking can," snaps Spencer. He's so fucking hard, and he wants. He wants like he hasn't wanted in weeks, in months, maybe years. There's a difference, he thinks, and feels dizzy. The difference is desire. The difference is love. "Yeah, but..." Ryan huffs out of breath and looks away, looks down. Spencer wants to throw something at him. "It really..." "Fuck." "Say it," says Spencer numbly. "It really means something to me, so I can't just do it," Ryan says in a rush, his words chirping over each other. "You... what?" That's not what Spencer had expected to hear. That's actually exactly the opposite of what Spencer had expected to hear. "But... in South Africa..." "Yeah, we came home and everything was the fucking same." Ryan laughs bitterly. "You didn't want to make my music. You didn't want to hang out with me. You went off with Brendan and you went surfing and you played the drums, and that's not what I wanted. But you only wanted me if I wanted what you wanted." "That's..." Spencer wants to say it's not true, except it's kind of true. "I'm a jerk," he says instead. "Yeah, me too." Ryan looks up at him, and he looks so young. Young and rueful. "I didn't think this would happen. I thought... all those songs about me?" Spencer moves closer, walking around the couch. "All the presents? The underwear? I wanted to be your friend again, but I didn't..."
Ryan lifts a shoulder and lets it drop.
I'm dumb. I don't know.
You only want to be friends? Spencer's trying to work this out in his head, but he can't get from pretty lace panties and love songs to just friends.
How does that work in your head?
It doesn't, not really.
You didn't answer my text, Spencer tells him.
You're a shitty friend. Ryan lifts his shoulder again.
I thought you were teasing me.
Spencer shuts his eyes and counts to 5.
You're a dumbass, he says. Your head is clearly broken.
Broken, agrees Ryan, nodding.
Spencer thinks about Brendan's romance novel theory.
That means this is the climax, the part where someone has to make a grand gesture. Ryan wrote him a bunch of love songs and sent him gifts. It's his turn.
I've pretty much loved you my entire life.
Been in love with you,
even when you're a dick, Spencer tells him.
But I will seriously break up with you if you sleep with me and then stop answering my texts and calls again. Because that's really shitty.
Ryan's smile is huge and bright, crinkling up his eyes.
I'm sorry, he offers, and it sounds genuine.
I really didn't. I'm stupid.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are.
Spencer hesitates, then holds out a hand.
Do you want to see the panties you bought me?
Ryan takes his hand.
I have a picture.
They're nicer in person, Spencer assures him, especially because you can touch.
Do you remember, says Ryan as they walk down the hall to Spencer's bedroom,
the first time?
That's what they made me think of. The ones I got you at that mall when you said...
Yeah, they're almost exactly the same, Spencer replies.
He pushes his bedroom door open, goes over to his dresser.
The panties Ryan gave him are right on top, because he thinks about wearing them every day, and then doesn't.
That was really hot.
I wish I'd been able to.
Ryan stops and sits down on Spencer's bed.
I don't know. So many things could have been different.
Then we wouldn't be here, says Spencer.
He folds his arm across his chest and stares at Ryan.
Is this not where you want to be?
I'm gonna fuck this up.
Ryan stares hard at him, the smile gone from his face.
You know I'm going to.
We don't want the same things.
We want some of the same things, Spencer points out.
His heart is beating like it's gonna explode.
It might actually explode if Ryan is really going to, like, walk out right now.
We both want you to wear lacy panties. That's not exactly the stable foundation of a long-term relationship.
Ryan's voice is dry, but he's smiling a little again.
We both want each other, Spencer says.
He pushes down his sweatpants and green satin panties.
His dick is so hard. It's almost curved all the way up to his stomach.
He strokes it a couple times. Let's Ryan get a good look at it.
He remembers that so clearly from South Africa. The way Ryan watched him hungrily made him jerk off without Ryan touching him.
He steps into the panties carefully, and once they're all up and arranged, he pulls off his shirt.
He and Brendan had a workout packed last tour. And now Spencer tries to jog a couple of times a week. Mostly for breathing, so he can work up the endurance to play drums longer. But he doesn't mind the way it makes his shoulders seem wider and his hips seem narrower.
Ryan seems to like it too, if the way his eyes darken is any indication.
Do you like them?
He asks slowly.
Ryan nods.
Want a touch?
He walks over to the bed and takes Ryan's hand, running his fingertips lightly over the smooth material covering his cock.
Ryan, he says, feeling strangled.
Ryan slides both hands up, so each one is tucked under the band of the panties that go over Spencer's hips, and his thumbs are in the creases of Spencer's thighs, and his face is right up against Spencer's cock, licking the fabric, sucking Spencer's dick through the panties. "Spencer," he murmurs. "Spencer, fuck." He tugs the panties down with his teeth, and the head of Spencer's dick pops out, and then he's sucking on it, and Spencer's knees are weak, and his fingers are tingling, and he remembers this. The way it feels like he was a virgin again, having sex for the first time, figuring everything out little by little, wanting to be touched all over all the time. He pulls Ryan off his dick, tilts his head up. "I love you," he tells Ryan. "We both want that, too." Spencer takes a picture of their feet tangled together and sends it to Brendan. Then he texts Twitter. "I don't believe in happy endings. I think you have to keep working at it all the time." Ryan groans when his phone rings. "Spence, you're killing me." "Brendan, seriously?" Spencer says. "You're not actually having sex right now, or you wouldn't be posting to Twitter," Brendan points out. "Or sending me pictures of Ryan's feet." Ryan snorts. "That's never stopped you," he says, loud enough for the phone to pick it up. "Tell Ross that my honor is not at all impugned," Brendan says, laughing. "Are you okay?" "We still have shit to work out," Spencer tells him. "Duh. But you're actually gonna work it out this time, instead of both of you getting scared and running away?" "Yeah, probably." Spencer looks down at where Ryan is curled against him. Just like when they were kids, teenagers, adults. Like so many times before. And nothing at all like those times. "Talking is hard." "Especially when your mouth is full," says Brendan agreeably. "Oh, shut up. I'll see you in the studio in a week," replies Spencer. 9 days, corrects Brendan. "Please, no more pictures of Ryan's feet." "I agree with him," says Ryan, yawning, when Spencer's hung up. "Please, no more pictures of my feet." "I like your feet. They're like wild animals never before seen near humans," teases Spencer. He puts his phone on the nightstand and tucks down so he can put his forehead against Ryan's. "Do you agree with the other thing he said?" "Which thing?" "We're gonna work it out instead of getting scared?" Spencer holds his breath. "How about we work it out even when we're scared?" Ryan yawns. "I don't think I can stop being scared." Then he kisses Spencer, sliding a hand over Spencer's neck, and Spencer's eyes flutter shut almost involuntarily. When he pulls back, Spencer opens his eyes to see what he's doing. He's just staring, smiling a dreamy little smile. "I love you," he finally says, and Spencer feels his face split into a grin. "I don't think I said that before. I love you too." The end.